All right, welcome everyone. This is Cancel the Cabal. I'm not sure what day this is going to be put on the air, but just going to be a special recording with Transcendence Wellness Center's Jessica Ahlstrom. Hello, Jessica. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Very good. What are we talking about today? We're going to talk about self-love, or I think there was another one. It wasn't PTSD. Oh. What was the other one?
I was thinking we could talk emotional eating.
How about that? Emotional eating. I know that subject.
Maybe weight problems,
well.
Especially this time of year. It's easy to pack on the holiday weight and get kind of lost in everything. So
yeah.
What do you think about that? Since you and I both struggled with that.
Well, I know that subject very well for about the last 43 years, probably.
Absolutely, me too. Last, 35 years for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't start putting on the pounds until about the age of 8. Right after my parents' divorce, I think. Up until the age of 7, there was a lot of family members that actually accused my mother of not feeding me, or not feeding me enough food, because I was so very thin.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was actually the fastest kid in second grade in all the running competitions. All the little sports things that they used to have out for the second graders, whatever, the punt, pass, and kick thing. And did they have those out there for you?
What is it, kind of like track?
No, it's kind of like a little competition thing for young kids. Punt, pass, and kick.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was. let's get into it, because, you know, I've pretty much spent my life with an eating disorder. So, and struggled with my weight my whole life. Really, it's only been the last about 3 years where I've gotten a handle on it and been able to find the root. How many times have you gone on a diet, right, and tried to use willpower to lose weight? Because we think that weight is just a byproduct of eating too much food, right?
Yes, right, exactly. I've actually lost probably, 400 pounds in my life over
over your period of your weight loss career, right?
Yeah.
I know, as well. And how much money have we spent on diets and weight loss products and exercise equipment?
Gym memberships
and all of these things. And honestly, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we opened Transcendence, is because Transcendence is a wellness center that focuses on the root cause. And, you know, for me, it's like it all comes down to definition of insanity. It's like doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And, you know, I just kept thinking, if I can just lose this weight, everything will be okay. You know, I'll like myself better. I'll have more confidence.
Yeah, that's...
I'll have more energy. And I never really realized that the weight was a symptom. And as I've gone through a lot of my own healing journey and now become a teacher, I realized that weight, especially emotionally, is about protection. And usually, like you said, you noticed you started putting on weight right during your parents' divorce. It was like that was a time when there was a level of unsafety that was happening in your world. And for a child, a divorce is, there's a lot of unknowns. And that can cause the psyche to kind of try to balance itself out and use something around itself to feel safe. So basically, food becomes a security blanket for us, just like any other addiction. And, you know, I always say, unlike other addictions, food is difficult because you still have to eat. It's not like you can just give up alcohol or a drug or go into rehab and just cold turkey it. You have to eat. And so if you develop a relationship with food where it is security for you, or a comfort for you, or emotional relief, you know, then it's much more difficult to just walk away from that addiction, because it is, you know, all addiction is basically the memory of satisfaction. It's a memory of joy. So it's very hard to break addictions when we feel unsafe in our lives. And I never really put together that idea that my weight wasn't about anything other than just my ability to control my eating habits. Because, you know, studied nutrition for years, studied so many different things about food and fitness, and I knew exactly what to eat, when to eat it, how often to eat it, and I still made bad choices.
Yes. I know that all too well myself.
And then you start getting upset with yourself, you know, and then you start judging yourself, and your self-worth drops, and then you eat more because you're upset with yourself, and it just becomes a battle of basically like you're eating for joy and then you're eating for pain.
A vicious circle. Yeah.
It is. It is a very difficult one. And like myself, my patterns were like binging in private and starving in public, you know, to make it look like I knew what I was doing for a really long time. And it was a very lonely battle, you know, of trying to beat an addiction with willpower. And, you know, now as a teacher, I realized that, you know, you can't outsmart your brain. Your brain is always about 10 minutes ahead of you. So it's even anticipating stress is coming. And then if it's anticipating stress is coming, it's anticipating what it would like to eat to calm those stresses down. So it takes a lot of willpower to break those cycles. And if you've noticed, you never really break the cycle unless you find the root, because there's been people who have lost hundreds of pounds. I have clients who have had lap band and have gained all the weight back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So willpower isn't what we need. We need to actually go in and heal ourselves emotionally for the reasons why we're addicted to food.
Yeah. I actually did lose 180 pounds. And
wow.
In a year and a half, it was, I got the local paper and one of the local news stations to come down to do a little thing on me. I still have the paper. I've got the article. It was back from 2005, 10 years ago.
Wow. So let me ask you, Stephen, what was your mindset when you lost the weight?
Well, my mindset was that everything was going to be fixed. Everything was going to be okay, and ended up being worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. So obviously it was a lot of willpower in the beginning for you, right? And I know if you're like me, then you start getting addicted to the results, especially when losing the weight.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
And then people start to pay attention to you and they say, wow, you look so good. And they have no idea that you might be starving.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you start becoming addicted to that. And, you know, and then that pattern falls. And then, you know, we're able to hold on to it for a little while until some sort of stress basically triggers our PTSD that caused the eating disorder in the first place, which is basically eating disorder is about feeling safe and feeling protected. And, you know, it's always about fear. And, you know, I always say that anything over 60 pounds is usually related to childhood abuse.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a real hard time, you know, I would say 30 is kind of your stress weight, where, you know, gain 20, gain 30. That's kind of like how you deal with stress. But anything over 30 pounds that you have chronically around your body is usually about some sort of abuse. It could be emotional abuse, it could be physical abuse, it could be sexual abuse. I mean, I deal with this all day long in our center, and it's very interesting to see the different weights that we carry as different forms of protection.
Well, I know that there is emotional abuse, just for the most part, mm-hmm. Tons of that. I don't know about sexual abuse. I've had little flashes, and there's been a couple little incidents in my memories where I get little flashes, but I don't get the whole picture.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, we have three different thinking minds. We have the conscious mind, we have the subconscious mind, and we have the unconscious. And the more painful the event, the further we stuff it down. So a lot of times when we have those moments of blackout points of our childhood or lapses in our memory, sometimes that trauma is, you know, it's a form of self-preservation to push it down, because none of us want to feel pain. You know, none of us want to feel the hurt. We don't want to be scared. We don't want to feel those feelings that are occurring. And so we block them out and we push them down, or we throw ourselves into action. What I've noticed a lot of times is when people are needing to grieve the loss of something, is instead of actually just being with the grief, they'll throw themselves into action. They'll take care of the whole family. They'll plan the funerals. They'll, you know, just take such extreme action that they don't have to stop and feel. And unfortunately, those feelings don't avoid us. They just find a place within us and hide. And then that grief just sticks within us. And, you know, grief can come from abuse. You know, I believe at the root of all fear is grief, you know, and we are just a culture that is programmed to not want to feel our feelings. And we basically, you know, stop feeling our feelings and start eating our feelings.
Yeah.
And anytime the feelings start to come up, we squash it with some sort of complex carbohydrate, sugar, you know, salty something, you know, you name it.
And partially hydrogenated oil.
Absolutely. And and those things lower our vibration, because, you know, that helps us kind of numb out, just like any other drug. It releases dopamine in the brain. It makes us feel satisfied. And for a short period of time, when the anxiety levels are coming and the feelings are coming and we feel unsafe and unstable in our lives and we don't have support systems around us and our relationships are falling apart or we're having money struggles, it's like food is the one thing that we can control.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why is it so hard for family and friends to support someone? Or give good praise to someone, or just be supportive instead of destructive?
Well, you have to look at the people that are in your life, because I don't think anyone ever intentionally tries to hurt anyone. I think it's coming from a place of hurt people. So the people who, you know, hurt us in our lives are also hurting. And instead of them feeling victimized, they're just acting as that perpetrator, and they're kind of projecting their pain onto someone else. But I really don't ever think that it comes from a deliberate place. You know, we've all hurt people that we haven't wanted to hurt in the past. And I don't think it's ever come from a malicious place. It's come from a lapse in awareness. It's, you know, we're not aware enough to feel our own truth, and therefore we project what we want someone else to behave like in order to make us happy. I mean, think about it. When your parents probably had their own wounds and their own PTSD and their own issues, and so in order for them not to feel all that pain, they need you to behave in a certain way that doesn't push their buttons. Because if you behave in a way that pushes their buttons, they're forced to feel all their pain. And they don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So it's not coming from a place of you know, conscious hurting. It's coming from a place of, I don't want to feel my pain, so I need you to behave and act in a certain way so that you don't trigger that in me. And so they basically suffocate our own ability to, you know, feel what we need to feel or be nurtured in the way that we are nurtured. Because people can only nurture someone as much as they know how to. They can only love someone as much as they've been taught. They can only support someone as much as they feel supported. So if someone is raising you who doesn't feel supported, I can guarantee you they're not going to show you the support that you need. And it's not coming from a place where they're doing it consciously on purpose. And that's the thing, is we can really find compassion for the people who have hurt us, because they must have been hurt too. No one would ever hurt someone who didn't learn that first. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, it does.
And really what we need to do on this journey, especially as adults who are still very childlike, is we need to go back in and we need to create safety in our own lives. You know, nobody is going to take care of us the way that we need to take care of ourselves. There isn't a magic pill out there. There isn't a savior that's going to come into your world and just make everything better. Really, the person that we're looking for to do all of that is in the mirror. And when I started to really face my own demons, per se, around my addiction with food, it was all about not feeling safe, not feeling supported, not feeling like I was worth it, wanting to feel invisible. And those are all the things that weight helped me do. Is weight made me feel invisible. It made me not want to go out in public. It made me, isolate myself and then be pretty much self-abuse. And it was a vicious cycle. And when I realized that in order to heal myself, first and foremost, I had to love myself. And if I loved myself, how could I create safety in my life so I wasn't scared? And that's what I had to start doing, is I had to start looking around my life and find out what was actually safe and who was safe. And anyone who wasn't safe, I needed to remove them from my life. And if I was working in a job where I didn't feel safe, I needed to change that. So I really had to go in and kind of take stock of my own life and create safety, because safety is at the root of emotional eating. And a lot of times you'll find that there's someone or something in your life that is toxic, that keeps opening the childhood wound. You know, it's like a wound can't heal if you keep opening it. So if there's someone in your life that kind of keeps reminding you that you're no good, or you're not worth it, or you're not worth supporting or loving, then the first and foremost thing is we need to remove those people and things from our lives so that we can get a clear perspective of who we really are inside and get back into our center where the truth of who we are is.
Is that a total removal or just?
I always say a good 30 days can really shift. I'm not saying you have to just disown people in your life, but getting clarity, giving the body a break in the energetic connection of people for a good 30 days and just get some distance from the situation really helps you see the perspective of the situation. You know, when you're too close to the problem, you can't see the problem. You know, it's like you have to move away from it. You know, I know that it takes 3 days to break a sugar addiction. So I know that if I am going to get off of sugar, I need to give myself 3 full days before my body will stop craving it. So the same way that I would do with that is we become addicted to the people who hurt us. And we want to get their love so deeply that we stay stuck to these relationships. We are like out to prove ourselves. Yeah. Oh, maybe if I just try harder, maybe if I, just love more, maybe if I just do more for the person, maybe if I just, take their criticism, they will love me. And at the end of the day, sometimes all you need to do to see the truth of the relationship is get some distance from it. So just like any toxicity, we want to remove ourselves from it for, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, and your perspective of the whole situation will shift and you will begin to feel your own resonance and your own higher self start to speak to you again. Because as long as the addictive pattern is in action, the wound will be opened, and you can't heal a wound when it's continually being opened.
I guess I was under the impression that this was going to be a taping for you, but I'm thinking that this is a actual therapy session for me.
Yeah, for a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, I consider myself kind of a survivor of this, because anybody who deals with this, it's 24 hours a day of agony.
Oh, it is.
It's constant thinking about it. It's constant self-judgment. It's constant, thinking about, the thoughts that a food addict has is, unlike any other addiction, because the high and low is pretty much all day, every day. And I'm not saying that it's, worse than any sort of drug addiction, because you know, I don't have a place of reference in that. But what I'm saying is, it's like your entire life revolves around this. And, you know, and it's like you can't go to a restaurant, you can't go to a grocery store, you can't go to a family function, you can't be alone without it torturing you, you know. And at the end of the day, it's not about anything other than the emotional root and figuring out, you know, where this is coming from, why we're using food to mask how we really feel about our life and how we really feel about ourselves. Because a lot of people use food to hurt themselves. You know, it's a form of self-abuse, just like cutting, just like any other addiction. And when it turns into self-abuse, then, you know, that's really harmful on the body.
Oh, yes. Yes, I do know. I've never been a cutter or anything like that.
Pretty common these days. And, you know, and the thing is it's just a form of relief. And, you know, sometimes, see, the thing is when you feel out of control, the system is constantly trying to feel control. So the body will use anything it can to start trying to empower itself or feel control. So if someone feels completely out of control because they've been taught that they're no good or they're not worthy or they're not lovable or, you know, they don't matter, then they're going to constantly go out and try to create a balance in that. And usually a lot of times that will be in the form of OCD, where they will be hyper organized or, you know, a hyper neat freak or germophobic, because they're kind of constantly trying to balance out the energy of feeling out of control. And food is no different. We're trying to balance out those feelings that are trying to surface, and we don't want to feel those feelings. And so we use something like, you know, large amounts of foods that has a drug-induced reaction on the brain, the same way that heroin would, the same way that alcohol would. It affects our brain the same way. And to me, it's so difficult to have this addiction because society judges you so differently. It's like an alcoholic can walk down the street and, you know, keep their shape and their body weight in order, and the obese person is judged more critically for their addiction. I mean, just think about it. Think about all of the celebrities who have come out and said, oh, I'm a drug addict or I'm an alcoholist. And you're like, oh, poor thing. And then someone who's obese is like, oh, wow, they just eat too much. They don't have any control over themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always look at it like, hey, I'm going to just eat too many Twinkies. I'm not going to get in a car and kill anybody, you know? So it's like, if you're going to judge the addictions, it's like, I just think society has such a, you know, morbid projection of beauty that this particular addiction because this addiction you struggle with in public. Because you carry it on your body.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And everybody knows it. You can't hide it.
No. No, you certainly can't.
So when you lost all that weight, Stephen, what started it to come back? What was the trigger for you?
Actually, probably not so much a trigger, but it was a result of something that had happened. I had taken care of my dad the last 10 years of his life, and the last five of those years, or four, you know, I was exercising twice a day, burning up calories and keeping the weight off. And then when he died in August of 2008, I was okay, like, what's next? I just took care of him the last 10 years of his life, and I'd gotten a computer for Christmas 2008, and I was just messing around on Facebook and that, and in the internet, and I got the idea to go back to college and do something with the rest of my life, or try to anyways. And that got me into the researching and got me into all of the corruption, and I traded the addiction of exercising for the addiction of trying to save the world.
Research, huh?
Researcher, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is usually if we don't really work to find the root cause, we just trade in one addiction for the other. I mean, I have a lot of clients who have lost weight, but if you take their exercise away for a day, you would think that you were going to kill them.
Yeah,
because they have just replaced now exercise with eating all day.
I got agitated if I didn't exercise 6 times a week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think exercise is very important because it releases endorphins and it's good for your heart and it's amazing. It's an amazing way to release old emotional trauma by just sweating it out. And, you know, especially if you're going to use music as therapy, I swear by exercise now. I was one of those people where it was like I would never exercise before. But now I've included in, but it has to be healthy. It's yes. Not about just yes. replacing addiction.
Yes.
And that's the thing. I truly believe, and this is kind of funky perspective, but I truly believe addiction is like a childhood tantrum. It's like, you know, the child isn't heard. The child's not getting what they need. They don't feel safe. They don't feel secure. And so what does a child do in that essence is they'll throw their body on the floor and start screaming and crying. And as adults, we can't do that anymore. So we have to behave. We have to be adults. So we throw our tantrum into an addiction.
Adults still do it though.
Yeah, we do.
They just don't.
You know,
they just
I mean,
don't.
Think about it. When people get drunk, it's like the truth comes out, right?
Oh, drunk.
All the inhibitions.
Drunks never lie.
There. They're gonna say their truth, right?
Yeah.
And
there's two people,
you know, or people who take a drug to get high, they're trying to feel the higher perspective of themselves. So everybody's trying to feel joy, really, from a place that they don't feel like they can generate from their own being. That's what addiction is. It's like, let me feel better. I can't feel better from inside. So let me use something outside of me to make me feel better. And the problem with that is that, you know, with any addiction, it requires more and more and more and more and more in order to get the same high, right?
Yeah.
And just like any other addiction, there's always the yin and yang. There's always the cause and effect. So you have the low that goes with the high, which the low is usually sponsored by a lot of self-loathing feelings. And, you know, and then we beat ourselves up for actually going through the addiction again. And it just becomes a cycle of pretty much self-hate, you know. And when once we get to that point, once we get to the point where we hate ourselves, it really goes from depression to numbness.
Oh, it does, yeah.
I know that when I turned 30, that was my lowest point. I was completely numb. I remember that I just stopped caring. Motivation gone. It was like no matter how hard I tried, nothing worked. So I just started to give up. And I just remember one day going, wow, I feel so numb. That's kind of scary. Like, I should not feel like this. I have children. I have responsibilities. You know, I can't do this. And that's really when my whole journey started to really, it was a really selfish journey. My whole last 10 years of, you know, now becoming a teacher, it was never deliberate. I never sought out to be a teacher. I wanted to feel better. I wanted to figure it out. I didn't want to suffer. I didn't want to show my little girls, you know, a crazy mother. I wanted them to see someone who, you know, seemed happy. And I didn't even know what that is. And I know you don't know what that is. I know that you haven't really felt true joy in this life in long periods of time either. Have you, Stephen?
No, not at all.
And I mean, think about it. When we don't have that in our lives, we're going to find something that at least brings us relief, right? We're human. So there's no judgment in what we go through. that's why, you know, like, I just love being, I love working with you, because, you know, we're going to get through this. I'm going to help you. There's so much about your story that is so relatable to me that I have so much compassion for you. And I know that so many people out there who are listening are going through the same thing. You know, we're not broken. We don't have the tools. We keep trying to solve the problem with a new problem instead of going in and really sitting with the feelings of why we are using the addiction to check out.
Do you find so many stories are the same, you could just put a different face on it?
You know, I don't want to say that everybody's story is the same, but, you know, there's so many patterns that start in childhood where a child gets lost. And, you know, you think about it. I mean, I talked about this yesterday in my channeling for Second Sundays was, you know, you're born and for probably a full year, you are the king of the kingdom. You are the queen of the kingdom. Every need is answered. Every meal is prepared and catered to you before you even need it. You're clothed, you're changed, you're pampered. And, you know, then a sibling is born, or then, you know, you grow up and you start being able to do a little bit of things for yourself, and the game completely changes. And now, in order to get the same level of nurturing and love, you actually have to be a good boy or be a good girl. Or, you know, now all of this love and affection has got to go to the new baby, and you now need to be quiet because the new baby is asleep. So we don't realize how traumatic even that can be. And then if you throw in any abuse or a divorce or, you know, a mom that's depressed or got the baby blues, or, I mean, we don't realize the impact on a brand new soul coming in, and their little point of awareness is just such sponge-like, how traumatic even the birth process could be, you know, or, you know, a mom that was highly depressed afterwards. Maybe she didn't connect with us the way we needed to, because honestly, I know that weight is all about lack of nurturing or lack of safety. So something has to be missing, or, you know, you've got chronic worry, or you've got chronic anxiety, or, you know, there's so many things that happen. And that's how that cycle pretty much begins, is we learn one thing. We learn that we're allowed to be abundant. We learn that we deserve. And then in 1 minute, it's taken away. And that's very difficult for a child to experience, just as far as trauma goes, you know, and that's why pretty much at Transcendence, we focus completely on healing trauma and allowing the consciousness to really be present, because, you know, the New Age philosophy is all about being in the present moment. But if you have a lot of trauma on your timeline, physically, emotionally, or chemically, it's very difficult to be present, because you're always being triggered back to a scary event or event that you don't want to feel, or, you know, someone being mean to you or bullying or you name it. We're constantly being triggered back to our own pain. Therefore, being present and happy for no reason is very difficult when you've got a whole bunch of feelings that you haven't processed from the past.
Yeah, I can really see why what you're doing is just exploding as far as being a life coach and stuff like that. Those just people are popping up everywhere being a life coach.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the best life coaches are the ones who have had the worst lives, you know, because we've, you know, it's one thing to go out and learn theory of, you know, psychology or how the mind works. But when you've experienced your dark night of the souls and you've been a survivor of abuse and you've suffered and you have seen things and witnessed things and been part of things that you shouldn't have seen as, you know, a human being, then I will tell you that you have so much compassion for people that as we choose to have faith and move forward and heal ourselves, those are your life coaches. Those are your life coaches, the ones who have overcome, you know, the addiction or the battle, the battle within, because it's always just a battle within. There's no battle anywhere outside of us. We are the enemy, our own
worst enemy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I say that a lot. Mm-hmm. We can be our own worst enemy.
Oh, yeah. And we are, because you know what? We judge ourselves so much more than we judge other people. You know, we give a lot of people a lot of grace to be themselves. We say, oh, well, that's just who they are. But when it comes to us, we don't allow ourselves to make mistakes. We don't allow ourselves to be human and fall down. We get upset with ourselves. And then, you know, we get lost in another addictive cycle because we just don't want to feel the pain that comes with the feelings of feeling unworthy and unloved.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's a...
Go ahead.
Well, there's a meme I seen last week. It was on Facebook, I think. I think it went something like, the master has failed 1,000 times more than the apprentice will ever attempt.
Yeah.
I think that probably means that people that are trying to better themselves and failing don't stop trying, because it's probably going to happen someday, and the apprentice that never tries is never going to fail.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, I mean, let's get into some solutions, because I don't want to just, you know, talk about the addiction the whole hour. I really want to talk about solutions and ways that tools of for people to really get out of this cycle. You know, I know we're just talking about emotional eating and food and, you know, obesity possibly in this show, but I want to give people tools on ways that they can heal this, because, you know, I'm going to tell you, I have been free from this addiction for about 3 years now, which doesn't sound like a long time, because I've been doing this work for about 7 years.
Have you?
I've been a life coach for about 7 years now, and I've only really had a handle, like completely healed this addiction for three. So, yeah. You know, I worked on a lot of other things first, because food was technically like a very important joy for me, and taking food away from me was not something I was ready to do for a while.
Food never says you're ugly or you're stupid.
Exactly. I know. And it's always there for you. And regardless of your budget, you can figure out some way to eat.
Yes, you can.
So, yeah. But I want to talk solutions, because, you know, at Transcendence, obviously we're a spiritual center that's based in really awareness. So we're 50% science, 50% spirituality here. We really blend both, you know, biochemistry and then the bigger picture, the higher source. We blend of that together, because where science stops, spirituality begins. And we really need both in order to really heal ourselves. I don't believe that we can heal ourselves through science. I definitely think that with complete faith, you could heal yourself through spirituality. But if you have a logical mind, you're going to need some sort of proof that can work. So we love to do both here. Everything that we do as life coaches here is based in both. We have, you know, hard truth that people can actually see statistically and scientifically proven. And then we have our spiritual methods as well, where we work in the realms of the energy. But the truth is so food addiction comes from a feeling of not feeling safe or protected. And, you know, it also comes from a place of just kind of waiting for life to begin. And if you're waiting for your life to begin, it's because you are numb to the fact of what to do. You know, because there's fear there. There's fear in putting yourself out there, or you don't feel worthy, or you don't feel good enough, you know? And so all of those things are the root. And so that is where we work, not in the diet changes, not in the exercises, not in any of the outside symptoms. We don't work on the outside symptoms, because the symptoms are just a manifestation of the thought. So what we do is we really go down into the root and we go back in and we change the programs of the childhood or the abused relationships or whatever, you know, has caused that program to be running in the quantum computer called the brain. We really want to change it at that level because the brain speaks to the body. And I will tell you that consciously, I can guarantee you probably wake up every day and say, okay, today's the day I'm going to take my life back. I'm going to work out.
Yeah,
I've got a refrigerator full of healthy food.
Yeah.
And your body says, no, I think we need some love and some nurturing. And, you know, you find yourself eating fast food by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we want to change those patterns emotionally through, you know, life coaching. But then we want to go into the brain and we want to change the patterning. You know, we're not going to put you on a pill that tells your body you don't want to eat something. We want to actually change the neural pathway that says you're not worthy. We want to change the neural pathway that says you're not safe. So when we go in and change the brain begins to give the body different hormones. And the body begins to work differently. Cortisol levels are different. Adrenaline is different. Dopamine is different. So the body begins to feel differently about food. And so I always say that when you really are ready to work through emotional eating, you will not use willpower. Your body will begin to tell you, no, thank you. No, thank you. That sugar doesn't taste good today. I really am craving broccoli. I've literally had clients call me and go, I craved broccoli today. What's wrong with me? Or I pushed my food away at a restaurant before I finished it. And normally I'm obsessing about finishing mine and everyone else's at the table. So what did you do to me? I said, no, we just changed your brainwave because your brainwaves know you. They know what you, who you are subconsciously. They know the pain and the patterns of the past, and they're trying to keep you safe. So your body 10 minutes ahead of you, your brain 10 minutes ahead of you always will be anticipating the next stress. So if we go in and change the brain and take the brain out of stress and into heal and love and repair, then all of a sudden the body starts craving different food and you don't need willpower. And I will tell you, Stephen, that is exactly what I did.
Uh-huh.
There's no magic pill. But I did. I changed my brain patterns because they started in childhood. I started emotionally eating in the second grade. And I would binge. I would take a box of cookies and go sit underneath a swing set and eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
While, you know, I was listening to my parents fight or something. And
yep. And
that was my happy place. It was my security blanket. And
oh, yeah.
And that is, you know, anything in my adult life that would trigger stress, that's what I would do.
Wait for the cookies, huh?
Yeah, or something, you know. Any sweet would do, any carbs.
Yep.
But I noticed as I started doing the meditation process that we do here, you know, we use brain reentrainment, but we use it with a system that is blended with a nervous system repair. So the thing is you will not ever change any pattern about your life unless you feel safe. And it's not so much your conscious mind that needs to feel safe, it's your body. Because your body is the one that's having the reactions to everything. It's having the stress responses. It's having the adrenaline. It's having the panic attacks. It's having the worry. It's having the depression. So we want to work at a body level and then consciously hold your hand through life coaching.
I just got a picture from Susie. I got a text from her. You probably heard
it.
Yes, I can put it in there.
Good. So does that make sense? And I mean, really, you know, I might change a couple of things on the diet just to completely satisfy the body of maybe some nutrition that it's not getting, especially during someone's emotional eating pattern repair program. I would put them on, you know, high healthy omega fat diet and, you know, a higher protein diet, lots of roasted vegetables, lots of fruits. And then, you know, try to remove a couple of things, but I wouldn't necessarily change any of the food probably for the first 30 to 60 days because we don't need to. We got to change the brain first.
A lot more water,
I'll bet,
right?
The brain changes the whole system.
A lot more water, I'll bet, right?
Well, you know, again, if you're not drinking water, why are you not drinking water?
Yeah.
Because you don't want it. So you got to get your brain wanting what it actually needs. A lot of times when we are thinking that we're starving, we're really thirsty.
Yeah, I know.
You know, but emotional eating causes the whole system to go out of whack because, you know, you're getting way too much sugar than your body needs. You're getting too many calories. You're not getting enough healthy nutrition. I mean, I will tell you a story. About 5 years ago, I had a smoothie bar that I had here in Kansas, and I had a client come in, and she was over 500 pounds, and she really wanted to change her life. So at the time, I had some access to some good lab work, and we ran some tests on her, and we came back with her body was technically starving to death.
Oh yeah,
even though she was over 500 pounds,
malnutrition.
And yeah, when we broke down her calories for the day, she was eating over 10,000 calories a day, and she was eating foods that had absolutely no nutrition in them. So she wasn't getting any of her macro or micronutrients. So her brain, her body, her liver, her whole, every organ in her body was technically starving and dehydrated, yet she was over 500 pounds. So there are certain changes that we like to make with people who come in specifically to do this emotional eating program that we do here at Transcendence. But it's just about feeding the brain and feeding the body, but we don't take any of the comfort away. We don't take any of the joy away because that's the security blanket. And you never take your child's favorite toy away until that child doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah. Water actually tastes different now than what it did a year or so ago when I started. I started having this sugar issue, sugar problem, and I don't know what it is. I used to love to drink water. I would drink a gallon of it a day or at least 3 liters of water, but now it just tastes differently and I can't explain it.
You have a hard time drinking water now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, your blood sugar is just completely out of alignment.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, this isn't about judging yourself. This isn't about, oh, what can I do to be a better person? This is about, you know, what do I need to heal? This is about what do I need to heal? Because you are a better person. You do deserve to be exactly who you are. And I know that the one thing that I remember is it frustrated me so much because you'd see yourself in pictures or, you know, somewhere and you'd be like, that's just not me. Like, you want to feel good in your own skin.
There are not really a lot of pictures of me around anywhere. I mean, there's obviously more video on the internet than what I have pictures of me or what my mother has pictures of me.
Mm-hmm.
Tons more videos.
Well, when you're not feeling good about yourself, again, you try to create invisibility. You know, you don't want the attention. You don't want, and I'm not saying that, you know, since I lost the weight that I were like, oh, let's go, you know, be everywhere.
An attention freak, yeah.
No, but it's like, you know, to me, testimonials are really important. And, you know, I'm a big advocate of walking your talk. It's like, there's not anything that I would not teach that I had not gone through myself, you know, and, you know, it's not, I will tell you that people say, oh, addiction is day by day. I will tell you that I don't have this addiction anymore. I do not reach for food in times of stress at all. If anything, my normal reaction now is to breathe, to check within myself and say, hey, do I feel safe right now? And who's around me right now? Is there anyone around me that's making me not feel well? And I don't ever reach for food anymore. So I know that this particular addiction can be completely transformed. It can be completely transcended, just like any addiction can. So I don't want people to think that, oh, even if you get a handle on this, it's just going to still be in the back of your mind through every holiday and family function. It does not exist in my energy field anymore. And if I can do this after 35 years of basically abusing my mind and body over food, then I know that anybody can do this.
Yeah.
You just have to be ready. You know, I do believe in timing. I do believe that you have to get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yes.
You have to get to your point. And when you're at your point, then you're ready.
That was That was the question that the reporter asked me 10 years ago when I had the article done about me. I said I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I wanted to do something about it.
Yeah.
And it's been more than a 10-year journey, just feeling this way. It's been a 43-year journey.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Well, when you and I do our private sessions, you know, we'll talk about a couple of the things that are popping up in your energy field that I can see as far as the reason, the causes. And so let's make sure we do that this week.
Okay.
And I think you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could talk about that off air, but.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, you know, it's when you're ready, you know. Yeah. When you're ready to, you know, fully embrace the self-love that you're that you deserve, you know, because it does, this is a journey, and healing is not, without its, you know, painful moments, but it's, I always say, what else, I say, yeah, it's going to be a difficult journey maybe in the beginning, but what is the alternative, you know? Like, you know, work through and heal for 3 months, 6 months, or just kind of suffer for the rest of your life. Because
right.
This isn't something that's going to go away.
No, it's not.
You know, and you definitely deserve it. We all deserve it. Oh. We all deserve to be free of anything that is, it feels like it owns us.
And it does. It does own people.
I know. I've been there many years. Yeah. And well, I see it every single day in my office. But you know what? It's like I have so much faith in people. And I've seen people change their whole lives in 3 months.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just truly believe in support systems too. You know, I think that the biggest thing that a life coach could be is a support system. You know, someone who's going to believe in you and root for you when you don't know how to do that. Someone who's going to be a mirror for you and reflect back to you the greatest aspects about you instead of constantly showing you your faults. It's then that we can see ourselves as who we really are and move forward.
Yeah. I can see why life coaches are popping up everywhere now.
There's a need for them.
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. If there's going to be a global awakening, there's going to be a need for them.
There is a viral awakening happening.
Is there?
So it's here. And I mean, just look around. It's happening everywhere. And as people start to wake up and really want to take their control of their lives back and follow joy and really become who they came to be, then they're going to be looking for teachers. So anybody who is, I always say the best teachers are just a week ahead of the rest of you. I would say you don't need to be a professional anything to help someone. You just need to be in your heart. You need to have compassion and you need to be a good guide. That's really it.
Yeah. I get told that by a lot of people that I help them getting their stories out there. And
Everything that you're doing, Stephen, is helping the whole planet. So don't ever belittle yourself for that. I mean, you're putting yourself out there and you're looking for the truth and you're looking for the answers. And not very many people could do that. That takes courage.
Huh. That's interesting.
Was that uncomfortable?
No.
Do you have a hard time receiving compliments?
No, I just... I always thought when I was a boy that courage was the best thing to have. And I just never could have imagined myself having courage.
For you to be doing what you're doing, Stephen, you have courage. You might not have courage in other areas of your life, but you have courage in your purpose. And that's a lot more than a lot of other people have right now, is you're putting yourself out there. You're searching for the truth. And that's the true indigo spirit of, you know, of why you came. It's like pushing through even when everybody around you is telling you you're nuts. We all live, anyone at Transcendence, we all know that.
Yeah. Well, it's been a very good show. Been a very good.
I hope it helps some people. Yeah. You know,
especially
and
me.
Obvious. Yeah. Well, we're gonna work together. You're gonna come out here, and I'm gonna put you under my wing for a couple of weeks, and
yeah,
we're gonna break this pattern. That's for sure.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
I would like to be able to do something out there. You know, I don't need to make tons of money or anything, but if I can drive people around or walk dogs or something or make a little extra money, I would like to.
You will be supported here, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me again, Stephen. I always love being on your show.
All right. All right, everyone. I'm not sure when this is going to be put out live, but I know it's going to be put on YouTube very soon.
Okay.
Later on today or tomorrow or something. So, thanks once again, yep. Jessica Ahlstrom.
Yeah, and if anybody has any questions about our programs here, they can just definitely look on our website, www.transcendencekc.com, and look me up on there. I've got tons of other videos on YouTube on different topics. And go ahead and reach out to us. Feel free to email us your questions or your stories. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, great. Great stuff. TranscendenceKC.com. Transcendence Wellness? No, it's just TranscendenceKC.com. Yep.
TranscendenceKC.com, yes. And then our center is Transcendence Wellness Center.
Wellness Center, yeah.
And we're on Facebook, yes.
I always put the link in the YouTube videos.
Awesome.
All right.
All right, Stephen. Have an amazing day. You deserve it.
Thank you. And you have a good day, too.